Episode 136, BulaNetwork.com. Hey kids, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. City of origin, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Whereas I hit the record button, it is Friday, June the 29th, 2012, and it's late in the afternoon. And as always, I'm a day late, a dollar short. Should have had this show out yesterday, but I got busy. I might catch you up on that, but we want to talk about your business taking an improved aim so you can make a better shot. We'll talk about that next. The life of being self-employed. You love it though, don't you? Sure. Well, I hope you do. And if you're not self-employed, but you think you might like to be, well, do more than think about it. Just plan on it. Just plan on it. I'm going to try to niche down some things here, and that really is kind of the subject. If you look at the show notes of today's episode, episode 136, it's a view through a rifle scope. Now, we don't know who the shooter is, but let's assume, for the sake of this podcast, that this particular shooter has had some training. Let's assume that this shooter has spent many hours practicing the craft of shooting, looking through this scope, taking aim. You may have watched various shows or documentaries about particularly military snipers, sniper school. I'm fascinated by the whole science of it all. Now, There is the reality that on the other end, there's likely a life being taken. So I'm not an advocate of that, but it is fascinating, particularly long distance accuracy, to take into account the wind, the weather, the trajectory, just all the many things that have to happen so that that shot can hit its target. Well, in the image that you see at the blog post or the show notes, you clearly see in the crosshairs, you see the bullseye of a target. Now, let me just give you a few things to think about before we dive into a few ideas here. As you look at that image, you see all the surrounding things. You see tall grass, you see various trees and shrubs in the background, a lot of different places that this particular shooter could aim at. You have the same opportunities. Your business, you can aim anywhere you want to aim. Now, it's easier in this illustration because, well, there's a target, there's a bullseye. Now, we don't have that in real life. Our businesses, it's not as though we can just open our door and walk out our front yard and, oh, yeah, there's the target. There's the bullseye. We have to find this out for ourselves. And it's really, really hard for most people, I think. At least most of the people that I encounter find it ridiculously hard, especially solopreneurs. It's kind of like the old adage, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I sometimes jokingly still tell people that. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Now, admittedly, everybody wants to be a Renaissance man. You know, we want to do everything. Well, let's stick with our metaphor here of the scope, the sniper rifle, if you please. In order to hit a target, you must aim at that target. And where you aim is entirely up to you. The image illustrates aiming at a bullseye, but wouldn't have to. You could just as easily aim at a particular tree. Aim wherever you want to aim. The challenge we often have is figuring out where we want to aim. Tons of opportunities and tons of challenges are presented in that whole thought. I've long been a hockey fan. Oh, many, 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 many moons ago, got involved in coaching hockey, especially kids. Very odd, by the way, because I've spent a lot of years coaching a game that I've never played. Seems bizarre, huh? Well, but I've been a student. I developed some expertise about hockey because I learned everything that I could. I talked with people. I watched. I paid attention. I learned from other coaches. And I was a pretty good coach. I was a pretty good coach. Because so much of it really stemmed from A, knowing the game, B, having great awareness and vision, and C, being able to communicate. So over the years, I had developed those skills, which all contributed to helping me be an effective coach. In hockey, people sometimes, especially a high or an elite or a skilled player, and they don't necessarily even have to be professional in order to be skilled. People would sometimes say, well, these guys, they're not aiming for a particular place, are they? Because they can't do that, can they? Oh, yeah, they can. Even kids can. A kid who's a pretty good hockey player can put the puck where he aims because they've trained, they've practiced. In your business, you will have much greater chance of hitting the target if you take proper aim at that target. Now let's pull back a little bit because everybody wants to talk about marketing and selling. And if you know anything about me at all, you know that I'm all into marketing and selling. However, let's don't get the cart before the horse. We've got to pull back and we've got to define who we are, what we are, who we want to be, what we want to do, who we want to serve. And those are big, audacious, difficult, sometimes, questions. And they're going to demand a significant amount of your time and your mental energy. I don't know why. I really don't. And I've given this considerable thought, and perhaps you have too, why people don't spend more time on the front end in order to make their back end effort more efficient, more effective, giving themselves improved chances for success. I rather suspect because it's tough work. And I rather suspect it's also because it's not one of those things where you can really lean on a lot of people. So much of this happens in our head and we have to come up with these answers. And here in America, let's just narrow it down to us. And it may be true universally, I don't know. We are such an excuse-driven society. We are so driven to point fingers and to place blame and to excuse why we didn't do this or why we did that, as opposed to just being held accountable and holding ourselves accountable. Well, it's probably a topic for a different day, but it does play a vital role, I think, in our willingness to sit down with ourselves. So many people find it uncomfortable to be alone with their thoughts. And if you aren't willing to spend some alone time with your thoughts, perhaps with pen and paper, perhaps with a Word document, blank, opened up, ready to get out of your head onto paper or some digital device, the answers to some of these questions, you're going to be hindered. Just know it going in. You are not improving your chance to hit a target successfully if you aren't willing to put in the work. Whoever the shooter may be that's holding this rifle and looking through this scope that is the image at the show notes, whomever he may be or she, know this, all you see is the shot. You don't see all the work, all the effort, all the sweating, all the toiling, all the labor, all the calculations perhaps that went into making the successful shot. We all suffer from this. It is such a pervasive thing. I think I have to start here with addressing these things so that we can really hopefully kind of clear some of the clutter out of our head and get a better grip on why this is so vital. We look at people who are successful, whomever it may be that you look to and you have some hero worship toward them. Just think of someone, a single someone, just think of them and think about what you admire. Maybe you admire the way they dress, you admire the way they look, you admire their celebrity, you admire their popularity, maybe you admire their money, maybe you admire their power, maybe you admire all of those things. And you think to yourself, I wish I were like that. I go to the gym and work out every day, and unfortunately, some days, I'm in there at a particular time when shows like TMZ are up on the screen. Now, I don't listen. I normally listen to music or podcasts while I'm working out, but you'll see this up on the TV, and it's amazing how many of these shows there are. The Star, National Enquirer, People, these magazines are ridiculously popular. Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose that we have this insane, insatiable appetite to know about these famous people? Why do we clamor so much after all the pretty people? Well, because we enjoy fantasizing about how their lives are. And wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we too could be that? I'm looking at wallpaper that I have on. I've got a couple of monitors. Actually, I've got more than that, but on two monitors. Well, on one monitor, I have a photograph of a GT Venom. This is an insanely expensive, ridiculously cool, crazy sexy, exotic automobile. I mean, we're talking a 7-figure automobile. Terrific. And I look at it. The particular picture that I have, this car is parked on some pavement and behind is the ocean and there are palm trees and it's clearly at a beach somewhere. No one is sitting in this car. And so I could be sitting in that car. Man, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be terrific? On another monitor, I have an Aston Martin, not nearly as expensive, only a couple of $100,000. And again, no one is sitting in this car. It's a gray, silver, sleek machine, 2-door coupe, burgundy leather interior. It's terrific. On both cars, by the way, the brake calipers are bright red. It's just gorgeous. And you can just, I could drive that car. We love that kind of stuff. We love to fantasize and put ourselves in that position. And so I guess that explains the TMZs and the People and all the other stuff like that. The problem is we just see the performance or we see the outcome. And so we see the celebrity who buys one of these cars and we think, man, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, we think that'd be great. It'd be awesome. Wouldn't it be great to have paparazzi everywhere you go? Well, yeah, maybe not. We regularly read about celebrities who engage the paparazzi in not so pleasant a way. And you realize that some of these people, not all that long ago, they were completely anonymous. Nobody knew who they were. And now that they are celebrities and they've got people watching and hawking their every move, and it's one of those be careful what you wish for kind of things. All of a sudden, privacy's out the window. You get in your car and you make a run down to Quick Trip and you fill up your car and you walk inside and you grab a soft drink. You don't think anything about it. You couldn't do that if you were these people. Oh, but man, wouldn't it be great? You'd just be, everybody would be paying attention to your every move. Now, we don't think about that. We think about the stuff that we see. We think about the cool factor. We think about all the good stuff. We don't think about the bad stuff because, well, we don't live in that life and that's not our experience. We only know what we know. We only know what we see. Yeah, okay. Well, would you like to have your kids in rehab? Would you like to be in rehab? Yeah, there's a ton of downside. It raises the question for me. It raises the question, I think, for all of us to not get focused on the outcome or what you perceive the outcome or what you perceive to be the desired outcome. What about the life? What about the life? I can tell you, let's just take movies. I have been on the set enough in my lifetime in working with agencies to produce a commercial. Now get it, a 30-second spot. maybe a couple or a handful of 30-second spots, and spent days and days and days on sound stages, and it is ridiculously monotonous. It is some of the absolute most laborious work on the planet. I kid you not. And okay, maybe I can be a guy that's easily bored, but most of us can be. And I'm telling you, it's a bunch of standing around. There's a whole bunch of hurry up and wait going on. And it's an insane amount of people and hours and equipment, especially in this HD world. So if you're going to shoot a TV spot in HD, and well, who isn't? Everybody's going to shoot in HD. It's just mind numbing. You know, you just after about 3 hours on a set like that, I'm just, man, just put a fork in me. I am done. I can't imagine a motion picture, and I've seen some of those. I've seen behind the scenes. You know, come on, here in Dallas, Texas, seems like there's movies being shot, you know, around, and I've seen some of those setups, and no, thank you. We think, yeah, but the fame and the celebrity and the money, that'd be great. Yeah, well, how would you like to go to some far-flung place and spend about 3 months and work 7 days a week? Yeah, okay, the payoff's great. That's not the point. The point is, do you want the life? Do you want to get up in the morning and do that work? Do you want to go through sniper school? Do you want to endure the hardship, the homework, the study, the research, the practice? Well, let's just bring it down to really basic stuff. Learning a guitar. I've long talked about how, you know, a guitar, for whatever reason, has just kind of been a bit of a muse for me, in that I've always had a guitar, and I've always had pretty nice guitars, acoustic, in a case, for 30 plus years. This is stupid now. This is flamingly stupid, but I freely admit it. I have right now in my closet, I have a pretty good guitar in a case. I don't know how to play it. I've always had a pretty good, nice acoustic guitar, always in a case, always in the closet. Get it out every once in a while, look at it, maybe strum it. Have no idea. You could put a gun to my head and I couldn't play a single chord. What's up with that? I can tell you what's up with that. I see friends and I see other people play a guitar and I think, man, it'd be great to play a guitar. Here's the problem for me. I'm not willing to put in the work to play the guitar. Oh, sure. If I could magically be able to play a guitar, I'd love it. But it doesn't work that way. You have to study. You have to practice. You have to learn. I, so far in life, and since I was 20, I've so far, and I'm 55, I've proven I'm not willing to do the work. I don't really want to do the work. So the answer to the question, would you like to be a guitarist? Absolutely. Would you like to do the work it would take to become a guitarist? No. Well, that doesn't work. That's a bad formula. But man alive, so many business people, that's exactly where they are. Would you like to be successful at this or that? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or are you willing to do that work? Not so much. Okay, so with that, let's kind of dive in here and get into the meat of this thing and figure out, because we're going to have to live in our head and we're going to have to come up with some answers. Now, some of this, yes, we can solicit some outside help, and I'm going to encourage you to do that as we discuss this, but it really is going to begin with you in a place where you can focus and you can think and you can really come to grips with some things. And I'm not going to tell you this is going to be easy, and I'm not going to tell you that you can do this in one setting. I think you're going to have to give this some time. For one thing, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take some time for you to just quieten down the noise in your head. The internet is a great, great tool, and we are living in a great time. However, it is one of the noisiest times, if not the noisiest time, of mankind's existence. Information is coming at us so fast and so furious, much of it crap, and there's a lot of racket. So when you get in a place, for me, the Yellow Studio, but you find your place, and whether you close the door or not, whether you put headphones on or not, whether you just quieten down the noise, turn off Twitter, turn off Facebook, turn off your email, turn off your cell phone, and just give yourself some quiet time to get the noise level down. And that's hard. And you're going to have to do it intentionally. You can't just, oh, all of a sudden things seem quieter. No, you're going to have to give this a concerted effort. Now, here's where you're going to start, and I'm going to throw you a curveball. Step one, I don't want you to think about who you want to be or what you want to do. I want to flip that on its head, and I want you to think about what you don't want to do, what you don't want to be. For so many people, it's really, really tough to think about what they want. And we may laugh at the joke, but boy, there's truth to it. You know, I don't know what I want, but this ain't it. Well, that's a phrase that all of us can relate to because we've all been there. It's much easier for us to get our hands around what we don't want than what we do want. You ever gone to a restaurant? I went on a business lunch the other day and we go to Cheesecake Factory. Well, Cheesecake Factory, you know, I mean, they've got a, you know, it's a novel. I mean, their menu is a novel. I mean, it's gazillion pages. I mean, you know, it's pretty bad when somebody asked the waiter, said, okay, what page are salads on? I think that's on page 17. I mean, you know, the menu's probably too big when that's the case, but so you flip through. Well, have you ever been to a restaurant and maybe the menu's not that large, but large enough. And somebody starts throwing out, well, you know, and you've never eaten there before. And they'll say, hey, well, you know, they've got great this or they've got great that. And immediately you go, nah, I don't want that. Nah, I don't want that. Well, what do you want? I don't know, but I don't want that. And you're still looking, you're looking, you're thumbing through the recipes or the menu, and you're trying to, you're just hoping that you'll stumble onto the thing that resonates with you at that moment. And yeah, that's what I want. In an instance, you can tell everybody at the table what you don't want. They start throwing out, oh, well, hey, you know, the clam chowder is great. No, I don't want clam chowder. Oh, well, you know, the blackened catfish. No, I don't want blackened. We can do that quickly. So for this exercise, I'm telling you, step one, whether it's a sheet of paper, whether it's a blank Word document that you're working with, whatever, get down on paper or on a digital device somehow and begin to catalog the things you don't want to do. The person you don't want to be. Now, we're talking about business. So let me illustrate. I'll use myself and we'll see if you can't learn some things. In keeping with what I've just said about how we can get fixated on, man, that'd be great. It'd be great to be a guitarist. Okay, well, great. Then you need to lock yourself in a room and spend about 5 years. No. I don't want to do that. Okay, for me, there's something else. Public speaking. Now, I enjoy public speaking. I love public speaking. But I could very quickly put on a piece of paper that for a business, what I don't want to be, I don't want to be a public speaker. I do not want to be a professional public speaker. Does that mean that I'm not willing to go speak some? No, I'm willing to speak some, but I'm not a person driven to make it my business to be a public speaker. Why? I don't want that life. I don't want to be away from home 200 days a year. I don't want to live in hotels. I don't want to live on airplanes. And I'm not afraid of flying and I'm not afraid of traveling, but I like to be home. I want to be home. I want to sleep in my own bed at night. I don't want to be away from my family. You can't have one without the other. So you got to think about that. Now, for you, there may be something that just you instantly think, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't. Just exhaust yourself writing all that down. Because there are things that are instantly going to pop up in your mind and you're going to think, okay, I absolutely know I don't want to do this. Don't want to. Okay, well, that's going to exclude a lot. Now, let's go back to the image on our post. Let's go back to the website and look at that, the picture of that view that the shooter is looking at through this scope, and look at all of the areas in that scope where he could aim, but he's not aiming at those things. He's excluded those things from his aim. If you don't exclude some things from your aim, then you will be aimless. And who wants to go through life aimless? Not me, not you. So first and foremost, let's go ahead and categorize and catalog all the things that we know we don't want to be, all the things we know we don't want to do. Now let's just morph that into yet something else. And let's think about all the people we don't really want to involve ourselves with, and all the people that we really don't want to be around, these kind of people, and the people that we really don't want to serve, these kind of people. Shoppers at Walmart are very different than shoppers at the Dallas-based Neiman Marcus Company or Nordstrom's. These are very different kinds of people. They attract different kinds of people. They do business with different kinds of people. They hire different kinds of people. I'm making no judgments on who's better than any other. It's not a matter of better or worse. It's a matter of different. The person who really wants to deal with ordinary, common folk, like me, like you, Walmart, maybe Target. There's a different group of people then that are going to frequent a Nordstrom's, and yet a different group of people that are going to frequent a Neiman Marcus. Very different businesses, very different merchandise, very different price points, very different suppliers, very different employees, very different customers. You got to think about those things. You're not going to excel in a career at Neiman Marcus if you really enjoy hanging around common, ordinary folks. Because common, ordinary folks don't shop at Neiman Marcus. Common, ordinary folks don't do business with, on the vendor side, Neiman Marcus. It's a little more exclusive kind of group. It's a higher end kind of group. Oh yeah, it's that famed 1%. I get so sick of that. The point is, you got to think about people, and you got to think about people as it relates to you. Look at your friends. Why are they your friends? What is it about them that you like? Do you have acquaintances that if they call and invite you somewhere, you're like, oh man, I really don't want to go. But you do because you want to be polite, or maybe you don't because you don't want to. And then you've got other friends, and man, you're excited when they call. Yeah, that'd be great. It'd be great to go to the ball game with you, or it'd be great to have you guys over to the house, or it'd be great to come over to your house. Sure, we've all got people like that. We've all got people like both groups. Well, let's aim for that second group. Let's aim for the people that we get really excited about, the people that we really would like to hang with, the people that we really think would enjoy hanging with us. And we've got to think about it not only in terms of that likability, but we got to think about the people that we want to do business with. Every business owner has horror stories to tell about customers. And by and large, I have found that if you just do a little bit of digging, you can find out why the customer relationship went south. And in most cases, I have found, well, many cases, to be fair, in many cases, what I have found, shouldn't have done business with them in the first place. They really weren't your kind of customer. You really weren't their kind of business to do business with, but you both kind of forced it. Some cases we do that because, well, we're desperate for money. We need the money. We need the business. And I understand all that, but boy, it can come back and haunt you. It can bite you in the butt. But think about how great it is when we engage with and when we encounter and when we do business with people that are just ideal for us. And it happens swimmingly. It's great. We're happy. They're happy. Everybody's happy. Who are those people? But to our first point here, who do you absolutely not want to do business with? Who do you absolutely not want to employ? Who do you absolutely not want to have to deal with on a daily basis? Who are these people? And it could be a group of people. It could be, I don't want to deal with airline pilots. I don't want to deal with engineers. Who don't you want to deal with? Because these are going to help us as we morph into number two and we start trying to think about, okay, now let's start trying to wrap our head around who. So number two, now let's start thinking about what we want to be and who we want to be. But let's begin number two with thinking about the other people. Let's now begin to think, and we'll work our way backwards here a little bit. So we've gone from what we don't want to do, what or who we don't want to be, who we don't want to deal with, engage ourselves with, entertain, interact with, serve. And point number two, now we're going to begin to think, who do we want to serve? Who do we want to involve ourselves with? Who do we want to encounter every day? What kind of people do we want? Now, you take somebody like me, I'm most attracted to people that have an appreciation for witty sarcasm. I just am. A friend of mine, he and I, we often talk about, you know, if you are dealing with somebody and they don't find Tommy Boy funny, just not our kind of people. Well, maybe it for you, it's not Tommy Boy. Maybe it's something else, but all of us are different. So now in point number two, think about who would you like to talk to? Who would you like to interact with every day? What kind of people would you like to be around? What kind of people would you like to have as part of your business? It doesn't matter if they're employees. They could be partners. They could be suppliers. They could be anybody in kind of our support group that's helping us do whatever it is we do. What kind of people are they? And what kind of people do we want as our customers? These are some tough questions. You got to give this some time. Now we're working our way backward from kind of number one. And now we're thinking about, okay, well, what kind of work would I like to do? Now there are a lot of different tips and techniques that people give us about this. And one that you often find is, okay, what are you passionate about? Well, that's kind of nebulous. I mean, okay, what does that mean? And people try to quantify that. And maybe this is helpful for you. I don't know. I haven't found it terribly helpful for me, but if it helps you, then great. I hope it does. You know, what is it that you could just do and just, you just lose track of time? For me, I've lived long enough on the planet that what I kind of migrate to help me with this. And by the way, the answer to some of these questions, it can change. So don't think that this is your one and done. Don't think that you just kind of go through these exercises and all of a sudden, okay, great, got that worked out. Because it changes. Your tastes change. Your perspectives change. A lot of things in life change. Now, for me, it's been helpful, but this is probably because of my age. I'd like to say my maturity. Probably because of my age, I tend to think, what are some things that I've been rather interested in, passionate about, if you prefer, for a long, long time? And it's rather funny as I look around the Yellow Studio here and some of the things that I'm interested in. I have been interested in music as long as I can remember. I have got tons of music surrounding me here in the Yellow Studio. I have been interested in art, in particular cartooning, for almost as long as I can remember. Guess what I have? Yeah, I got cartoons hanging all over the place in the Yellow Studio. I've been interested in books, words, for as long as I can remember. I'm surrounded by books. I'm surrounded by written material. I have been interested in spoken communication for as long as I can remember. Here I am, podcaster. These are just four things that are not passing fanciful whims. These are long-term, lifetime interests. Now, what about you? Do you have anything like that? I don't know how old you are. It doesn't matter to me whether you're 14, whether you're 24, 34, 44, 54, 64. Are there things that over some period of time you've continually fostered an interest? You've never lost some love or some interest in this thing. What are those things? Write those things out. We're not thinking at this point, by the way, kids, we're not thinking about marketing. We're not thinking about sales. We're not thinking about a business name. We're not thinking about, okay, what are we going to sell? How are we going to monetize it? No, don't get the cart before the horse. Let's just stay on track here. Think about these things that you've had some lifelong interest in. Now, hard part, more hard part. It's all hard. In keeping with that, now you've got to think about my guitar story. Cartooning, music, books, spoken, written communication. Well, let's take music. I love listening to music. I don't play an instrument. I have a lifelong interest in music, but my interest in music is from a listener's point of view. Be specific like that. When you list this stuff in this second part of the exercise, be specific. Don't just write down music. Listening to music. What kind of music? What kind of music? Be specific. And be specific in, you know, not this kind of music, but that kind of music. Think about what you don't want in conjunction with what you do want. Because, again, making sure that we catalog what we don't want gives us this clarity, sharpens our focus, gives us greater ability to take a more focused aim at what we do want. Because you look at that picture at the blog post, we don't want to aim at this tree or this shrub or that shrub. We don't want to aim in this area of the grass. No, we have a target. We have a specific point where these crosshairs intersect, and that's where we want to aim. So we have to not only know what we're aiming at, but we have to know what we're not aiming at. Tough stuff. Now think about what you want to do. I love listening to music. Okay, well, we're gonna expose you to 24 hours of classical music. Okay, I'm out. Wait. Did I say I love music? Now, I love some classical music, but if you try to give me 24 hours of it, I'm out. If you try to give me 24 hours of rock and roll and I can pick the rock and roll, I'm in. If you want to give me 24 hours of rhythm and blues and I can pick, I'm in. You want to give me 24 hours of fusion, I'm out. You want to give me 1 hour of fusion, I'm out. So we've got to be specific. Because there are some things, you know, that I don't want to do. There's some work I don't want to do. I don't want to engage in. And you too. You've got some things that you just flat don't want to do. List those. Now, number three. And this one could be easy and this one could be really hard. And I'm going to end with this one, by the way. So don't worry. I'm not going to burn a whole bunch more of your time. For some people, it's helpful to not give this a whole lot of thought. So try it. All right. You got your piece of paper. You got your pencil. Got your pen. Got your word processor open. Okay. Here we go. If you're on a treadmill, don't worry. Just think about it. Just answer it in your head. Who cares? Hey, shout it out loud. You're at the gym. They've all got earbuds. Nobody's going to hear you. Scream it at the top of your lungs. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to be on that treadmill and holler out loud the answer to this question. You ready? I'm going to be listening for you. So I want to know. One thing. It can only be one thing. What do you most want to do right now? What would you most like to be known for right now? I didn't hear you scream. You chickened out, didn't you? Oh, you gutless coward. Come on. Come on. What were they going to do? Throw you out? No, they wouldn't throw you out. They all might look at you like you're a loon, but so what? Be a loon. Maybe that was your answer. Maybe you screamed out loud, I want to be a loon. That must have been my goal because I clearly am a loon. One thing. Here, this is for many, many, many people, the really, really tough sledding. I don't want to pick one thing. Okay, let's stick with our metaphor. Go back to the illustration at the blog post. Do you want to hit a target or not? Because you got to aim at something and you got to pick what it is. You've got one shot to hit one target. What's it going to be? It's interesting to me, and I've commented about this in the past, and you can, I'll just give it to you. And if you've heard this before from me, then I apologize for repeating myself, but I think it bears repeating. We get fascinated and we get captivated by the whole notion of multiple streams of income. And we get captivated because we see people, successful people, usually we see people and they're successful at this and at that and the other. And we think, I want to be like that. The problem, I believe, is we believe wrongly, we believe that their success was born because they were into this, that, and the other. We fail to realize their success brought about the opportunity for them to be into this, that, and the other. They didn't get their wealth, by and large, in my experience, they did not get their wealth by being involved in multiple streams of income. they have multiple streams of income because they were first successful at something, one thing, known for one thing, and it spawned other opportunities. But we tend to put it in reverse order. We tend to look at them and think, yeah, that's how to do it. Didn't happen that way. We have it backwards. What do you want to be known for? One thing, just one. You must pick one and only one. Now, let me end with kind of some sub notes here, especially to this last one. The one thing that you would like to be known for, there are some elements that clearly you have to take into account. First and foremost, I'm going to tell you to take into account where your natural aptitude is. Where's your natural aptitude? What is it you're good at? What is it you're capable of? What do you think you're good at? What do other people think you're good at? And I don't mean some disillusioned strength. I mean something that's real. Something that you've got compelling evidence, not only from how you think about yourself, but feedback that you get from other people. What are you good at? I don't mean what are you world class at. Listen, let's assume that none of us are world class at very much, maybe anything. And if you think that you have to be world class in order to be successful, you are absolutely crazy. All you got to do is look around and know that that's not true. All you've got to do is look at the one thing that one big thing that I love, music. I can't tell you how many times you ever go over to, I'm absolutely brain dead. I'm going to have to open up my email. What's the site that, you know, they send you music and you can get this music for free? Noise Trade. Man, if you haven't checked out Noise Trade, I'm sure it's noisetrade.com. And you can tip, you can volunteer to pay something, but you don't have to. There are some bands and groups and songwriters and singers at Noise Trade that you've never heard of. I've never heard of them. I'll get something in the email. I'll go download it. I'll listen and I'll think, you know, man, they're pretty good. Struggling, working hard just to try to make it, trying to break through. You know how many of them will? I don't either. Most won't. Most of them will not become household names. And many of them, in my opinion, many of them are better than, more talented than household names. So there's proof that you don't have to be world class to be successful. Yeah, you do have to be visible. So don't fall into the trap of believing that, well, I'm not ready yet. I don't know enough yet. I'm not world class yet. We've all heard it. And I know that it's true. At least I believe it's true. If you've read 3 books on any given subject, then you know more than most people. Well, that's duh. That's kind of easy to figure out. Because guess what? Most people haven't read 1 book about a subject, much less 3. Well, shoot, most people haven't read a book. I was reading not all that long ago some stat, and it was just crazy insane about how many people had not read a book since high school. It was a ridiculously high number. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember thinking, not a single book since high school? Can that be? Sure, it could be. Now, I think people buy books. It's a whole different thing to buy a book than to read a book. A lot of people buy books. Fewer people read them. And fewer still do anything with what they do read. So you have purchasers. You have purchasers who also consume the content, and then you have purchasers who consume the content and then actually act on it. And with every trickle down, boy, it's a much smaller group of people. So don't oversell what you know, but don't undersell what you know. And in my experience, far more people undersell what they know. Far more people say, man, I don't know enough. And they sell themselves short. They know a lot more than they think they know. They're capable of doing a lot more than they really believe that they can. So think about that when you think about this one thing. What's the one thing that you want to do? And I'm just going to kind of leave you with that. Now, I'm not trying to leave you hanging. We'll pick up on this next time and we'll start making application of this in your business. But these are 3 really important, I think, really important exercises that you've got to spend some time and some effort give it the thought that it deserves, because you got to have these right. You got to get these as right as you can if you want your business to take an improved aim so you can make the shot count. You want the shot to count. And as I said, everything is, well, you know, come on. Our lives are living laboratories. All of us have this life that is a work in progress, a work in process. I feel very differently today than I felt about some things just 3 years ago, 2 years ago, maybe even 1 year ago. Shoot, I feel different about some things than I did last week. So don't think that when you answer this that it's the end all be all, and it's etched in stone and it must forever remain the same. No, it won't remain the same. Now, that isn't to say that our business will just be constantly adrift, tossed to and fro. And one day we're this, and the next day we're that, and then the next day we're this, and the next day we're that. No, I'm not talking about that. But your interest and those things, this is the reason that an entrepreneur who is an entrepreneur, you hear it all the time, especially of these high-tech startups. Somebody can start a project, they can start an enterprise, and they just get so wrapped up, they are consumed with it. They eat, drink, and sleep it. They get involved in these incubator programs, and they're living it 24/7, 365. They're not visiting family. I mean, they barely eat, they barely sleep. They are consumed. And then 2 years later, they're off doing something completely different. Been there, done that. Maybe they cashed out. All kinds of things happen to us. Maybe they failed miserably and they go in a completely different direction, because guess what? For you, for me, for them, life happens. Maturity happens. Learning happens. Wisdom improves. Situations change. And we have to be adaptable. We have to be flexible. We have to embrace improvement, particularly our own. So give these things a go. Give them your very best effort. Because what we want is that same clarity that this sniper is looking at through this scope. We want to be that clear. We want to know, yeah, that's the bullseye. That's what I'm aiming for. That's the shot. That's the shot I want to take right now. Hey, do me a huge favor. And by the way, I appreciate those of you who have already, those few of you who have, but hey, I don't care. I'm not above giving kudos to just a handful of people, but I'd like there to be more people who go over to iTunes and who give me a favorable review. Now, here's the reason for this, and here's the reason I need your help in this. The more favorable reviews I have, the more visibility at iTunes, the more people that might stumble across and find Bula Network Podcast. Because I'm like you. We want to be heard. Want to get the message out. Want to try to help more people. Want to try to get more attention. Absolutely. I make no apologies for it. So you can do me that huge favor. Hey, pass the podcast on to your friends, loved ones, enemies for that matter. I don't care. We just want to get the word out there. I appreciate you for listening. Thanks for giving me your time. I hope you did shout that out in the gym. If you didn't, go back to the gym and do it all over again. My name is Randy Cantrell, the website, BulaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio.